Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, episode 15. I'm Dave Spadaro. Your Eagles insider in the draft has finally arrived. It starts on Thursday night. The Eagles with the second overall pick. We will talk in depth about the Eagles and the very latest from the NovaCare complex. Another extraordinary week in this 2016 offseason. Let's get you caught up on the news of the week first, and then we'll tell you what we've got ahead in a very, very in-depth Eagles Live Podcast. On the roster front, the Eagles signing defensive tackle Mike Martin, a Tennessee Titans third-round draft pick in 2012. Martin signs a one-year deal with the Eagles. Now, he's here to add depth, to compete for a roster spot. His playing time diminished over the years in Tennessee, but the Eagles feel like they can bring him in, give him a chance, give him a look, and see what he does the rest of this spring and in training camp. He played four seasons with the Michigan Wolverines. He had 172 tackles there. Started five games and played in 46 games in 4 years with the Titans. Had 41 tackles and four sacks during that time. Played just 52 snaps in 2015 before being placed on injured reserve with a knee injury. Of course, the big news of the week for the Eagles, the absence of quarterback Sam Bradford from phase two of the team's offseason conditioning program. Phase two allows the players to get on the field. Now, through his agent, Tom Condon, Bradford has indicated his interest in having the Eagles trade him and says that if the Eagles don't trade him, he will not report until the workouts are mandatory, and that is the post-draft minicamp in June. So we will keep you informed with that, and we're obviously expecting both Howie Roseman and head coach Doug Peterson to address the Bradford story on Thursday after the Eagles make that number two pick overall in this draft. As for the podcast ahead, we'll hear from Howie Roseman. We'll hear from national media Jeff Darlington from the NFL Network, who gives his perspective on what's happening with this Eagles team. Ike Reese, former Eagle and current member of Sports Radio WIP, the Midday Show. He chimes in on the Bradford situation and on the Eagles as they look ahead to this 2016 draft. Merrill Reese talking about the quarterbacks, of course, and about his preference in the draft at number two. And we'll visit with 1999 number one draft pick Donovan McNabb, a member of the Eagles Hall of Fame. His number is retired, and five has some advice for number two in this 2016 draft. McNabb has some very pointed ideas on how to succeed and how to thrive in Philadelphia and in the NFL. First things first, Doug Peterson. Three questions with the head coach as he prepares for his first draft as the head man of the Philadelphia Eagles. Doug, how do you view the quarterback position on the roster right now?
I think it's a solid position. Sam Bradford coming in as a starter. Chase is a solid quality backup. I like where we're at. McLeod, Bethel Thompson is a guy that's young that can compete at that third spot. But there's competition. They're going to push each other. And I'm real comfortable where they are right now.
What are the areas you think you can address in this draft?
Well, I think that we can focus in a little bit up front with the offensive line. There's still a need to have depth at that position. I think the other one is defensive line. I think this is a great draft for offensive and defensive linemen. And then down the road, if you can grab you a secondary player and potentially a safety, another linebacker. There's some good linebackers in this draft. And, you know, running back is also a spot that you'd like to fill. But, you know, I think the immediate needs would be our offense and defensive lines.
Doug, what is your opinion of the young guys, Goff and of Wentz? I know you've talked about them quite a bit, but one of them appears to be headed for the Philadelphia Eagles. Talk about them just for the fans who really have no idea what to expect.
First and foremost, really, they're both great kids, great character people, guys that you would want to have as the face of your franchise. And you really can't go wrong with either one of them. They're great competitors. They both are great leaders with their own, not only their own schools, but off the field as well. They know how to rally the guys around them. I would say Jared's a little more reserved and quiet than Carson is. Carson's a little more outgoing and a little more vocal, but they both get the job done at the end of the day and can't go wrong with either one of them.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Join us for the Eagles NFL Draft Spotlight Forum on Saturday, April 30th. Brandon Graham, Jordan Hicks, and Chris Maragos will be on hand to discuss their experiences of going through the NFL draft process. And a lucky fan in attendance may even have the opportunity to announce our fifth-round draft selection live from the event. Tickets are just $15 and are available online now at philadelphiaeagles.com/spotlightforum. As for Roseman, he takes a look ahead at this draft. All seven picks the Eagles have, some needs on the roster, and how he views this Eagles team as it stands right now. Howie, the draft is finally here, and you're on the verge of picking second in the draft. What's the feeling like?
Well, it's excitement. I think that for us, we're really excited to get this guy in, get to work with him, and then the rest of our staff has already turned to what we're going to do with the rest of our picks and what we're going to do with it after the draft.
So the trade was last week. We're here at the draft now. What has happened? What have you done from that point to this point, from a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think the first thing we do is we go through all the scenarios in the first round, which we spent a lot of time going through, and that's why we're picking number two now. And then we go through round by round some of the discussions on some players, make sure that those discussions are happening now. So if we have any debate, whether it's medical, whether it's character, whether it's physical play, we're having that now rather than on the clock. And then we spend a lot of time doing the back end of our board. The front board's really taken care of, but the back end of the board, looking at those guys and trying to get in position to get as many of those guys as possible with a shot to make our team.
So you make the trade and you publicly say, we are taking a quarterback. And I wondered, has any team called just inquiring about the second pick just to see maybe they could entice you to trade that?
No, it's been pretty quiet on that front. I think there was a lot of action here with the first two picks, and maybe if we would have stepped out and said we didn't know who we were taking, it would have been different, but we feel very comfortable. We're excited about having the second pick. That's why we moved up to get it.
All right, Howie, the draft is here. There's seven picks for the Philadelphia Eagles. What are the strengths of the draft, I guess, starting from 79 on?
The draft, as you look at it, has probably a more offensive lineman and defensive lineman, maybe not as high quality as there's always been, but the number of offensive linemen, defensive linemen on our board is more substantial than we've had in the past. On the flip side of that, some of the skill position players, there aren't as many as you're used to. The number of quarterbacks on our draft board is also a little bit more than usual. So I think that when you look at it, you look at the lines, you look at how that affects the draft. Do people take one early and get one they like, or do people kind of go take another position knowing that they can come back to it at some point?
In your draft room, is there literally a mock draft or in your office of seven rounds that you've come to a consensus to as a group? What is behind the scenes?
It's too hard to do that. You know, what we'll do is try to go through the first round, go through what we think the scenarios are possible at 77 and the possible players later in the draft. But you don't know what 31 other boards look like. It's impossible to do a mock of that length because you may have someone in the third round. We may have someone in the seventh. It's different systems, different staffs. People are looking at things different ways.
Howie, when you come into this draft, you've got areas that you've addressed in free agency heavily. Offensive line, the secondary, wide receiver position. Do you feel like you've really addressed those positions completely?
Well, certain of those, you know, you talk about the line and the DBs and both sides of the ball on the line. You never can have enough of those guys. You're always looking for them. They're hard to find. They're hard to find in free agency. So if there's a player that we think is the best player at that particular spot and he plays one of those positions that we've already addressed, we owe it to ourselves to go in and think of the draft as a long-term option. And I think that it's no different than the second pick of the draft. I mean, we got Sam as our starting quarterback. We brought in Chase here. Two guys we're really excited about looking at, and we're picking a quarterback second. So,
In this draft, you make the pick at number two. You celebrate. Then you tune back into the draft, probably, I don't know, three or four or five pick. Literally, what do you do? How do you work the phones? Do you think that there's scenarios where you could get back into the first round? I know that's a long shot. Second round, third round, what do you do?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard because of the lack of ammunition. So I think that there's certainly no shot to get back into one. And then when you look at it, it would probably take some unique situation for us to try to get back into two. We're comfortable where we're picking in three and what we think the options will be there. But we're going to monitor everything. We're going to look at it. It's fun to kind of watch the draft unfold, see who guys are taking off the board. You know, we got to watch 76 guys before we pick again. But we'll have a 77th guy there that we're excited to take. I'm really be excited about bringing it in here.
Well, enjoy the weekend, Howie.
Thanks, Dave. You too. You too.
Thanks, Howie. In this week's press coverage, Jeff Darlington of the NFL Network talks about the Sam Bradford picture as he sees it and the direction the Eagles might take on Thursday night. Jeff, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles as the draft is here. First, backtrack the offseason that the Eagles had. Your thoughts on everything they put together in free agency?
Well, it's a good thing that they did what they did because they can't do anything else in the draft other than add the quarterback that they inevitably will. So I think it was a fine free agency. I think Howie Roseman is coming in and taking back his team, and it's now on him. And I think he understands that. But the identity of this team is now, I think, taking a shape that he wants it to take as opposed to what it took under Chip Kelly. And that in itself, I think, think defining your culture, defining your team is an important step for the organization.
On Thursday, the Eagles will pick either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. Your thoughts on them, what you've heard about them, and how they fit into the NFL in the future.
Right. Well, it's interesting with these two guys because a lot of people just want to look at them and say, well, who's the best? That's who should go number one. And who's the second best? That's who should go number two. But I think it's a much more nuanced situation where you have to take in the human understanding of these personalities. Jared Goff is a guy that is more of a laid back, calm, cool type of natural athlete who's going to fit great with the Los Angeles Rams. And Jeff Fisher will be a great fit with Jared Goff. Whereas Carson Wentz is a perfect fit for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think if the Eagles even had their way, if they could have moved to one, I still think that they likely would have taken Wentz. I think they have a huge amount of respect for Goff, but this is a guy who played a little bit of West Coast, mostly West Coast at North Dakota State, had the ability to audible there. I think he's going to come into this system with Doug Peterson. He's going to have a coaching staff around him that's going to help him overcome whatever inexperience he has. And from what I understand about Wentz, he also is the type of guy who does not like to take days off. Like, that was the one anecdote that was shared with me by a person close to him right away. He's a type A personality that if he doesn't have anything on his schedule for that day, he's calling people and saying, why do I have a day off? I need to be working. And I think that that plays very well for a guy who's coming into a situation who, while they say he's going to redshirt this year, I believe will be on the field sooner rather than later.
So the transition is natural now. The quarterback picture here obviously has become a bit more complicated with Sam Bradford and this week in the report that he will not attend any of the Eagles' voluntary workouts. Your take on Sam's stance and how it all plays out?
It's incredibly nuanced, and I would have been fine if the Eagles stepped forward in a day or two without this Bradford situation coming up and saying, hey, you know what, we decided to trade Sam Bradford because Chase Daniel is our future as our backup quarterback. He understands Doug Peterson's system. He's going to come in and he's going to not only get experience playing that's going to help our backup quarterback for the future, but he's also going to bridge the way for inevitably Carson Wentz. So I think that that actually is a good situation for the Eagles. But when you look at the contract of this, I understand why there's so much controversy and complication to this because the Eagles have already coughed up $11 million that they're on the hook for with Sam Bradford. The question is, if you can recoup a pick, if you can get a pick back and just send Bradford on his way. In some capacity, I know fans will say we shouldn't be giving him his way. I think the Eagles could have justified that anyway. The question is, can they get a pick for him? Can they get something worthwhile for him? Or is it just more beneficial to keep him around? But an interesting part of this, if Bradford were to hold out into training camp, if he goes past 5 days of training camp, he is potentially forfeiting 25% of his signing bonus. I don't think it goes that far. I think we'll have an answer sooner than later, maybe even by draft day.
Do you believe at all, Jeff, that there's a market for Sam Bradford?
One NFL person was telling me that his contract is structured that even though it seems like a team wouldn't want to take it on, that it's actually somewhat friendly beyond the $11 million that the Eagles would have to take on. So I think that if there is a team out there like the Denver Broncos who believe that he is the best asset for them going into the season, then yeah, I could see a marriage happening. I don't know what the value that the Eagles would want, what the Broncos would give up. But I do think that there is a market for him. I don't think it's with the Jets. I don't know if it's with Chip Kelly and the 49ers, but I do think that there's a market. Most likely, if I were to pick, I would say the Denver Broncos.
Howie Roseman has said that Sam is the quarterback here. He's the starter. The Eagles have shown no indication that there's going to be any sort of trade. So let's go with the other scenario that Sam eventually comes back here and is the starting quarterback. Is this a quarterback picture that can be painted in a positive situation, a positive light for the Eagles?
I think it can be painted in a realistic manner, and that is that Sam Bradford is on basically what is essentially a one-year deal, and that after this year, he will either be traded or cut, or they'll just have to figure out because they'll move on with Carson Wentz in 2017, and they'll have their backup in Chase Daniel. So no, I don't believe that Sam Bradford has a future. Best case scenario for the Eagles, it's a Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees type of situation. Worst case scenario, I don't know, Bradford just winds up on another team. So inevitably, I think ultimately that's what happens. It's just a matter of when and how.
Do you see the Eagles being a factor in the NFC East this year?
I see them being a factor because the NFC East is so wildly unpredictable. You know, I think when we look around, though, the Giants are so unpredictable. They've bolstered their defense. I think that helps them out. The Redskins, I mean, Josh Norman signing seems to help them out. They seem to have stability at the quarterback position. So it feels like a little bit more stable division now. I think that they can contend, but ultimately, I still think we're looking at 2017 as the projection for the Eagles as opposed to this one.
The NFL Network has stationed you in Philadelphia here for a reason. This is where all the fireworks are.
It is. The fireworks, I guess, really were last week. We thought it was going to be a boring week leading up to the eventual second overall pick, but Sam Bradford making it interesting.
Glad we didn't disappoint.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. Believe it or not, now is the time to start thinking about summer plans. And the best way for your kids to enjoy the summer is to spend it with the Eagles. In partnership with award-winning ESF Camps, the Eagles are proud to introduce the all-new Eagles Football Academy, featuring both football non-contact camps and cheerleading camps for boys and girls ages 6 to 14. Camps feature instruction from current and alumni Eagles players and cheerleaders, a behind-the-scenes tour of the Eagles facilities, top instruction from the region's finest coaches, and much, much more. Register your kids today for the official Philadelphia Eagles Football Academy summer camps. Visit eaglesacademies.com. The voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, enters his 40th season on the radio calling the Eagles play-by-play. He's excited about the Eagles draft prospects, excited about the quarterback picture, particularly if the Eagles get the quarterback he favors. Merrill Reese, welcome to Draft Week. There are some pieces of news to discuss before we get to the draft on Thursday night at pick number 2. The news about Sam Bradford and his unhappiness and the Eagles' response is, hey, we love Sam and we want him back and we look forward to having him back and being our starter in 2016. Your view of the whole situation?
Well, I can understand it. It's normal. I remember Donovan McNabb being very unhappy when the Eagles drafted Kevin Cobb in a second round because he felt that they could have used that pick to give him another weapon to help him. I think that Sam feels the Eagles, by drafting a young quarterback in the first or second round, he's probably thinking, well, I'm not their future. On the other hand, the Eagles' feeling is, go ahead, Sam. You're under contract to us. Go out and play like an all-pro. Win 10 games for this team, and we'll worry about that later. And we're compensating you well, and it's your obligation to go out and play. I can certainly understand both sides of it.
How will it play out, Merrill? You've been through these situations before. It's April. There have been a host of discontented players in the spring in every NFL city.
And usually you think they'll be back for training camp. Eagles made a mistake last year in an upset, well, they didn't let him. Evan Mathis wasn't here for the spring, and then they told him not to come back to training camp. And I thought that hurt the team negatively. It hurt Evan from a financial standpoint, although he went on to become a part of a championship, a Lombardi Trophy winning team. You don't know. Are the Eagles going to entertain trades? If they do, they are still going to take a cap hit of $11 million. But is it worth it to them to say, get twos and depart with Sam Bradford? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe they hold still, and maybe Sam Bradford says, listen, I don't have a choice. I am contractually obligated to the Eagles, and if Sam Bradford comes in for the regular training camp, I know he will put that behind him and play like the professional he is.
Merle, as you look at the roster, what kind of needs do you think the Eagles really have to address in this draft?
I think the number one spot is still offensive line. There was an absolute avoidance of offensive linemen after Lane Johnson in Chip Kelly's first year. It was a big mistake. You've got to take a couple of offensive linemen in every single draft, and this is no exception. I think they need two or three offensive linemen to come out of this draft, although I do think they helped themselves with the addition of Brandon Brooks and Stefan Wisniewski.
Merle, let's now talk about the number 2 pick. You have a wish. I know that we've talked about it before this podcast. I'd like you to share it with the fans.
I think both of the publicized quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, are first-round talents. You never know how it will come out 10 years from now or 5 years from now. I do know this. When I've watched them, I think that Wentz is the more talented physical presence. He's bigger, he's thicker, his arm strength is greater, his hands are bigger. And I know that you make a lot of comments, people say, what's the difference? He had big enough hands to throw for all those yards at the University of California. I'm talking about Goff, of course. But I remember, Dave, in 1999, the other quarterback that Andy Reid considered was Dante Culpepper. And he told me that the thing that separated Culpepper and Donovan McNabb was the hand size, and he was concerned that in a cold northeastern city with the sleet and snow and rain, that Culpepper's hands would have trouble gripping the football. And of course, he went on to a great career in a dome stadium in Minneapolis, but still, each season, he led the NFL quarterbacks in fumbles.
Merle, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks come and go, and the Eagles have used high draft picks on a number of quarterbacks. What are the key components in the long run, in the big picture here, to having success with your young quarterback?
I think you have to bring him along properly. I don't like force feeding a quarterback. I'm glad that the Eagles don't have to take a young quarterback and tell him you're your day one starter. Let him grow. Let him feel his way around the NFL, because the speed of the game is different. The defenses are a lot more complicated and exotic than what he faces as a college player, regardless of whether he played on a Division I level at Cal or a Division II level at North Dakota State. So there are going to be some adjustments that he has to make. Bring him along slowly. Give him great coaching. Great coaching is very, very important. And I think he's, whoever it is, and I hope it's Wentz personally, he's going to get it from Doug Peterson and Frank Reich. I think these are guys who have been around.
What constitutes, at the end of the day, Merrill, a great draft for the Eagles this weekend?
Well, it depends. Generally, if you get that number one guy, and he's a quarterback, and he has success, it didn't matter in 1999 what the rest of the draft was like. They got Donovan McNabb, who took them to five NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. That will always be referred to as a successful draft. So if they hit on that number one pick, that's big. If they do, and they can pick up a couple of offensive linemen who become starters, or maybe a running back who 2 or 3 years from now is an all-pro, that can be a successful draft. You used to say, look back 3 years hence, and then you can evaluate a draft. And I still believe that's the case, and even more so this year, because your quarterback won't really blossom for a couple of years.
All right, quickly, 1999, Donovan McNabb, the Eagles' first pick. Who else did the Eagles take in that draft?
It's a good question.
I have John Welborn.
John Welborn was picked. Was Greg Brzezinski was picked.
And the tackling machine at linebacker?
Was
Barry Gardner.
Barry Gardner out of Northwestern, who was not a bad player. He was a pretty decent player. Brzezinski wasn't a bad player. Welborn was okay. He ended up shooting off his mouth too often and getting shipped off to Kansas City. So it was still a decent draft. But you know what? Somebody said, I think it was Jeff McClain in the Inquirer, made the statement, if the Eagles had stayed 8 in that draft and had to make the same trades that they did in terms of draft picks to move up to number 2 and get Donovan McNabb, so they wouldn't have had Gardner, and they wouldn't have had this guy, and they wouldn't have had Welborn, and they wouldn't have had Brzezinski. How bad would that have been? It wouldn't have been bad at all. It still would have been worth it to move from 8 to 2. So I don't think they gave up too much to move those 6 spots.
Thank you, Merrill.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm head coach Doug Peterson, and you're listening to the Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro.
Former Eagles linebacker Ike Reese, of course, working in the midday shift with Michael Barkan. And he understands on sports radio WIP that it is a very emotional Eagles fan base right now, what with Bradford's departure, his absence from these voluntary workouts, and the idea that the Eagles will be using the number 2 pick in Thursday's draft on a quarterback, either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. Reese talks about the Eagles, the quarterback situation, and the draft ahead. Ike, we're here at the draft. It's here, finally, and you've obviously very aware of everything going on with the Philadelphia Eagles. How does this situation resolve itself?
Well, first of all, listen, I'm excited. You're sitting at the number 2 spot with an opportunity to draft a franchise-changing player at the quarterback position. I think we all should be excited about that. And I think eventually guys come in, you work, and you do what you get paid to do, and you let the chips fall where they may. There are no guarantees about the future as to what's going to happen with anyone. And as players, this is something we deal with on a yearly basis. This is a non-guaranteed business. Teams are going to draft players every year. Some years it's going to be at your position. Some years is not, but we as competitors, we step on the field and we compete and we let our play do the speaking for us.
So your feeling is that Sam will come back and business will be conducted as usual at some point in time?
Well, I mean, I think that's what I'm hoping for, because I think a true competitor, that's what he would do. I mean, listen, you're getting the opportunity to play a game that we love, and you're being paid handsomely. And so I think once you get past the immediacy of what's going on right now, you sort of realize that eventually. And I think the competitive side comes out. You say, you know what? You say, damn it, I'm going to go out here and prove that I am what I believe that I am. And you come in and you work again. This isn't anything new. It happens time to time, teams year in and year out. But ultimately, in this sport, you got to step on the field and prove your worth. And I think that's what Sam will do eventually.
Let's transition to the draft. What will constitute a successful draft, 1 round through 7 rounds for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Wow, what would constitute a successful draft? That's hard to say immediately following the draft. You know how this thing works. It takes a couple years to realize whether or not you've drafted the right player. But I think the work that the Eagles have done leading up to the draft puts them in the position that the only way this can't be successful is if the players don't turn out to be what you hope for them to be. And that can happen with any team. But I think what they've done, how hard they've come up to get to the number two spot, it's hard for me to see how this can't be a successful draft. Again, unless the players don't turn out to be what you expect them to be. And that can happen with anyone. As long as you don't reach for players, I think best you can do is do your homework, do your due diligence, and then hope for the best with every guy that you draft.
Are there positions you'd like to see the Eagles hit in addition to quarterback at two?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I would love to see them address the running back position. I know why we have Ryan Matthews still here and Darren Sproles we all love. And Kenyon Barner is a young guy that's still trying to make his way in this league. You have guys that, you know, you still need to have another guy in there, in my opinion. So I certainly wouldn't mind them addressing that position. I guess when you look at the secondary, there are areas that not necessarily is a great need. That's the great thing they did this offseason in free agency. There isn't necessarily a glowing need for any position, but they can add depth there. They certainly can add a little more depth on the offensive line, and we want to see them be able to do that to shore up that position. But I think the Eagles have did the grunt work in free agency. I think they put themselves in a position that now they're picking at luxury positions, adding depth as opposed to adding guys that are going to play in 2016.
Thanks, Hank.
No problems, buds.
Was it really 17 years ago when the Eagles used the first pick in the Andy Reid era, the second pick overall in the 1999 draft, on Syracuse quarterback Donovan McNabb? He turned out to be the gem of what was expected to be a great, talented quarterback class. McNabb played 11 seasons in Philadelphia. He's a member of the Eagles Hall of Fame, has had his number retired, led the Eagles to 5 NFC Championship game appearances, and 1 Super Bowl appearance. And McNabb talks about his experience as a number two pick overall, the time in Philadelphia, and some advice for either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, how to succeed in Philadelphia via Donovan McNabb.
Time now to welcome in 5. He is the greatest quarterback in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. His number hangs in the rafters at Lincoln Financial Field. We welcome to the Eagles Live podcast Donovan McNabb from Arizona. Donovan, good day to you. Hope all is well.
Oh, how are you doing, David? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Donovan, you know, on Thursday night, at around 8:30 or so, the Eagles are going to draft a quarterback at the number two position for the first time since 1999, when Andy Reid called your name, called your number, and introduced you as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I wanted to get your perspective on being in that position and how difficult it is to make it, you know, through the whole pre-draft process, come into a city, and then be an outstanding player in the NFL. As you look back on it, Donovan, what was the experience like?
Well, you know, it's a great experience because everything that you dream of as a player, you know, when you're coming out of college, the only thing you want to do is hear your name called and as early as possible. And I think for a lot of these young guys, this will be something I think they can kind of just cherish. And, you know, the moment with their family, just the anticipation and then actually hear your name called, go up and shake, you know, Roger Goodell's hand and get that out the way and then be able to just move on to your given team and get started. But I think for all the Philadelphia future draft picks that will happen next weekend, it's an opportunity to try to make change. You want to go into a program where you're part of the piece that changed the organization around. And that should be the mentality for a lot of these young guys that all start with the number two pick.
Donovan, now they're kind of playing the game here in the NFL where the Rams are on the clock, Los Angeles is on the clock. They're not sure if they're going to take Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. Did you know back in 1999 that Tim Couch would go number one and you would go number two? Or did you think right up until the moment when Cleveland chose Couch that you might be the number one pick?
Well, you know what? There was a lot of talk between, just like we're doing now with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, of Akili Smith and Tim Couch. And I remember they brought Akili Smith in. He threw 52 or 62 passes. Tim Couch only threw about 30, 35 passes. They brought Tim Couch back in to throw more passes and check his arm strength. Akili Smith, the same thing. And it was the battle between the two. And after that, there were a couple other spots that were open at needing quarterbacks. And so I didn't know until maybe about 20 minutes before the actual draft started, you know, that there's a possibility that Philadelphia may take me at two. So for me, it was all about just staying calm, just waiting for my opportunity, no matter if it was 2, 3, 4, 5, whenever. But when my name was called, it was just kind of pressure off my back. You know, obviously we know the historic moment of when my name was called and what happened. But I kind of just let that just roll down my back and just waited on the opportunity to show and prove what I could do.
The reception that you got, Donovan, obviously it's not a shining moment in Eagles fans' history. Have fans who participated in that, and have they reached out to you over the years and said, hey, Donovan, we're sorry for that?
Yeah, I mean, all throughout my 11 seasons of playing in Philadelphia, there are many occasions where people apologize. But in my 11 seasons, I found that there were a lot more people who were gracious and happy of me being there and the things that we were able to do throughout the seasons in which we played in, and just the competitive nature that was brought back to Philadelphia. You know, we felt that broad sweep bully mentality that every time that we play, if it was at home or away, that we were going to dominate, and we showed that. I mean, you talk about the success in which we were kind of brought to the fans of Philadelphia, starting with Andy Reid and Mo Drack and then Hecker and, you know, the coaching staff in which we had that all moved on and became either head coaches or coordinators. So it was one in which I think people will look back on and say it might have been the best decade of runs that they've ever seen in the Eagles organization. So to be a part of that is something special.
Donovan, what happens after you get drafted? What happens that night? What happens the next day?
Well, once you're drafted, you go up and shake, you know, Roger Goodell's hand, you take the picture, you kind of smile and hold up the jersey, and, you know, after that, you do some media stuff where, you know, you just explain how happy you are for this opportunity, you look forward to getting started, then you possibly fly out, or in my case, got the limo and roll down the turnpike to Philadelphia and get a chance to meet with the coaching staff, you know, and I was with Brad Childress, which was the offensive coordinator at the time, so we started our playbook right there, going over different things and just kind of preparing myself for the first mini camp. And then once I got a chance to meet Andy Reid and take pictures and talk to the media there in Philadelphia, it was just time to get started, and I look forward to that opportunity.
Donovan, when the Eagles select either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz on Thursday night, what will be in your mind the keys for them to have success over a long period of time here in Philly?
I mean, really, it's just closed mouth and an open mind. I think that's the best way of approaching this whole deal for these young guys. I think people sort of come in and they want to show they're a big leader and they want to be able to display how smart they are and things of that nature. No, you're a rookie. It's just like going in your freshman year of college. You're going in to learn. And I think for all these guys, the way that you show your teammates that you're ready to go is by being prepared, knowing what you need to do as well as everybody else, try to eliminate as many mistakes as possible, and have short-term memory. I think for all quarterbacks, you're going to turn the ball over. You're going to make the wrong check. You're going to make the wrong call coming out of the huddle. But just don't get frustrated at yourself and know it's part of the process. And when things kind of get settled, repetition is there for you. You'll start to see that you can relax and just play football.
At the time, was it difficult for you to not be out there in September starting for this football team?
Oh, absolutely. It pissed me off. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. It pissed me off because, you know, I just felt like it was that time. You know, we weren't doing much as a team, and I was just waiting my opportunity where I could get out there and take more than one or two series and then be out for about 5 to 8. You know, I wanted to get into a rhythm, and for a quarterback, it's very important that he gets the rep and he can see everything out there. You know, you see a different blitzes and all different formations, what coverages you may see in different formations. The only way that you'll be able to get that down in your mind and be well prepared is by being out there. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on whatever quarterback that they take in that second pick. But the way that you get your quarterback ready to go is by getting them out there and getting them seeing a game action. Nothing better than game action. You know, preseason doesn't show it, nor does practice prepare you for the game. So he's going to have to get game reps no matter how you see it.
Sounds like the plan, though, is to make sure that either Goff or Wentz spends at least a season learning the NFL, learning how to deal with the media and learning the speed of the game and the blitz and all of that. How do you feel about that approach?
I mean, it sounds good on paper. It sounds good coming from a head coach. But with the reality of it all, and Doug would tell you, because he was the guy who was put out there to give me an opportunity to learn from the side and learn how to watch film and be prepared. But in the actuality of it all, he'll be out there maybe by week 8, week 10, week 12, whatever it may be. He's going to get some game action. So what you're hearing from now from Sam Bradford, he understands, because he probably looked back on the situation in 1999 when Doug was brought in to be the starting quarterback. They drafted me number 2 and then see what happens. The fans will turn on you once things go wrong. And once things go wrong, they're going to ask for the young guy. And when the young guys call many times and if things aren't going well, the young guy's got to get in there to play.
Donovan, what other pressures are there for kids who come into college, particularly as the number 2 overall draft pick at the quarterback position? I'm talking about money and women and social media and fans and everybody wanting a piece of you.
Well, you know what? I didn't have to deal with that whole social media. So at that time, social media wasn't going and being such a such an annoying factor. But, you know, the whole thing for young guys, you got to look past the whole money aspect and the women and things of that nature, because you got a job to do. That should be your main focus. Not trying to be one of the guys hanging out, you know, going wherever they go, trying to act like you've been in the league when you only been in there probably for a week or so. But just most importantly, just continue to stay strong, continue to work hard. Everything that you did in college to get yourself to that particular point, now you got to take it up two notches. And if he has that mentality and he's well prepared, knowing what's going to be in front of him, then he won't focus on anything else. But once you start to focus on what the fans are saying, talk radio, what they're talking about, then it's going to affect your game, and you're going to be worried about more than just going out and making plays, and it's going to really hurt your team.
Donovan, last one for you. I remember Andy Reid talking about why he waited until middle of the season to make you the starter, and he talked about you mastering the blitz and the recognition and the speed and all the adjustments that needed to be made. Is that the most difficult part of going from college to the NFL, recognizing that part of defense?
Absolutely, and it's not just really the quarterback. I mean, think about the struggles offensive linemen have when they're trying to recognize the front and know where guys are coming from and who they got to block. Running backs having to be able to fill the gap and pick up the blitz. That's something a lot of people struggle with on the offensive end. And even for wide receivers, knowing when to side adjust if that's what's in the offense. So it's not just the quarterback, but everybody has to be on the same page. I mean, look at it. Just last year, we had a guy by the name of Jameis Winston come in, and by the third minicamp, he picked up on everything and telling all the young guys where they need to be pick up the blitz. So the things are happening a lot faster because offenses are starting to be pro-set offenses in the college rank. These guys are getting these quarterback gurus and working with them ever since they're in eighth grade or junior year in high school. So they're coming out well prepared. Now you just got to put it to the test.
Donovan, once again, thank you so much for joining us. We can only hope that the player the Eagles select on Thursday night is close to you and the great 11 seasons you had here in Philadelphia, Hall of Fame career with the Philadelphia Eagles. Donovan, thanks again for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Take care, Donovan.
All right, Dave. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Eagles Live podcast, episode 15. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. Thanks to Brian Thomas for putting everything together, and thanks to you for joining us here. Make sure you're with us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and on our official app as we have the Eagles draft coverage start to finish and then some. And you're going to love every bit of it beginning at 7:30 on Thursday night. Eagles Draft Central is live. We thank you so much for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast. I'm Dave Spadaro. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.